welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, sir.
It's great to be back on the air again.
Always.
We've had a little bit of a break here with last week's pre-recorded show.
That's right. As I was putting in several hours on the airplane getting back from Assisi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell us about your trip?
Oh, it was marvelous. I don't know when we're going to have things up on the web about it, but there were lots of pictures taken. We went and saw the Peace Center. People fell in love with it. I had done such a good job of saying what a wreck it was that the overwhelming response was, oh, my gosh, it's not that bad.
Yes.
It was a beautiful day. We sat out in the garden and looked out over the rooftops of Assisi and to the valley below, and everybody there could see that it already is the Peace Center.
We had
to do that little detail of raising the money to buy the property and then begin to put it together. So it was a wonderful trip. The weather was hellacious.
Uh-huh.
But we were doing, kind of a pilgrimage around different sites that St. Francis spent a lot of time, and just to kind of take in that feel of, you know, what is it about Assisi? And, of course, most of what it is, or an awful lot of what it is the influence of St. Francis and all of the people who have come there through the centuries to being drawn there because of St. Francis and St. Clair. So we went to a lot of the high spots, the highlights of his time in that, well, on the planet.
Yeah.
And it was lovely.
That sounds exciting.
A lot of meditation, a lot of prayer, a lot of walking around in beautiful places.
And
of course, then there's always the good food.
Yes.
You know, Italy is rather well known for.
Yes.
So it was it was a very good time. In fact, it was wonderful for me because we went to see the building. And, of course, I'm a little apprehensive because, what will people like it? Won't they like it? What if they can't see it? What if, whatever? Although, not really, because how could they not love it? And then afterwards, we went and sat in the Piazza del Comune, which is the central plaza of the town, and had cappuccini and talked about it. And that's exactly the process, except we did it in Mountain View and then Murphy's. It's exactly the process that we went through when we bought the original Zen Center in Mountain View and then when we bought the monastery.
Uh-huh.
A group of people came and looked at it and sat down and talked about it. Shall we do this? Is this something that we want to commit to? And what is this going to mean? And, gosh, it's a lot of money and that sort of thing. So it felt good to be there with a group of meditators who were enthusiastic about the project. Feel it going, getting larger, going beyond just this my vision and then the vision of the people who are part of the Assisi team here, and now we're taking it out into, we were actually not just from the United States, we had somebody there from Ireland, and so it was very good. We invite everybody to join us the next time around.
Oh, great. And it sounds exciting, that process you talked about of doing it initially with the Zen Center and then with the monastery and then with the Peace Center.
Yeah.
And I project it's a similar process.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
There's the vision.
Yep.
And then there's, do people want this?
Uh-huh.
Is this something that people are going to put their time and energy and resources behind? Because that's what it takes. If it's just...
Yeah.
My idea of wouldn't it be great to have a Zen center or wouldn't it be lovely to have a monastery, that's not going to get us very far. It's when other people say, yes. I want that too.
Sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up. I want to take a stand for that, and not just I want to send you a check, but I want to bring this into existence. I want to make this a real thing in this world.
Uh-huh.
And, of course... anything like that, there are lots and lots and lots of things in the world that are like that, and just in our little, small little corner of the world, that Zen Center has changed many, 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 many lives, thousands and thousands and thousands of lives, and the monastery has done the same thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Peace Center is going to do that on an even larger scale. So it's wonderful to be a part of something that really makes a difference in the world.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everything that we're a part of makes a difference in the world, but it's not always the difference we want to make. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, buying gas makes a difference in the world, but it's not as probably as close to our hearts as something like the Peace Center.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's wonderful, and I truly do hope that's what I've hoped about this from the very beginning, is that it's sort of for people who love peace, it's the equivalent of Mecca for Muslims. You know, at some point in everybody's life, they will go visit this place and spend time there because it's their place, and hopefully it will represent their experience and desire for peace in the world. And so to go and put yourself there in that and make it very physical, that this is who I am, this is what I stand for, this is what I'm a part of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just once, although I don't think anybody can go just once.
What I hear and what you're talking about is the power of commitment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly so.
This is important to me, and I want to commit myself to it.
That's right, because what we are committed to is what we put our energy in.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, a lot of times when we look at where we put our energy, it's kind of appalling what we're committed to.
Yes.
And so to make a conscious choice to be committed to something that really supports the spirit, that is from and for the heart, and to say, I'm committing to this, and I'm going to commit myself to this with my time and my energy, my attention, my focus, my resources, and it's going to take up a good part of my day every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when the voices say, well, I don't have time for that, then I will remind myself, no, what I don't have time for is the voices. I certainly have time to be focused on peace, because that's the thing that brings joy to my life.
Yes, yes. And to me, that is so huge. I remember having that insight of that I say I don't have enough time, and what it is that voice telling me I don't have enough time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that voice is saying, you don't have enough time for anything other than me.
Yes.
You don't have enough time and energy and resources for to support anything other than what I want.
Yes.
And until we step away from that and say, well, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning, you and I are on separate paths. As I'm always fond of pointing out to people, I'm the one with the body.
Yeah.
So if you want to go your own way, then you have at it. But the heart, the body, the spirit, the mind, we're going in this direction. We're going in the direction of ending suffering.
Yes.
And I don't have time to listen to fears and can't and not enough and mm-hmm. something wrong and won't work. And I don't have enough minutes on this earth to devote to that kind of nonsense.
Uh-huh.
I got things I gotta help make happen.
Yes. Wow, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting, and that's why we do this radio show.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So that we can have these kinds of conversations, and of course, what we're hoping is that our friends out there are going to join in this conversation. Now, I know that there are a lot of people out there who listen and never call in, and that's great, although we're always encouraging them to call in.
Yeah.
We know that there are a lot more people who listen to the archives.
Yes.
But the conversation is, it's special.
It's powerful.
It's part of that stepping up. You know, if we're going to do a sports analogy, you know, there's listening to that ball game on the radio or watching it on television, and then there's taking the step of actually making it to the stadium, which is big because you're right there, but there's nothing like being the one up there at the plate with the bat in your hands and the ball coming at you. That's where the action is, and it's the most exciting place to live. And so we're hoping that this conversation and people joining in this conversation is a part of empowering people into that place in life.
Yes. And with that in mind, let me give the phone number so that people can step up to the plate.
That's right, because they're out there going, what's the number?
What's the number?
Okay,
what's
I'm
the number?
Call. Who do I call?
The
wow,
number is toll-free, 1-888-514-2100. Again, that's toll-free, 888-514-2100. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Sherry, let me give a couple of reminders here. If people want to email us with their questions, you can send an email to openair@livingcompassion.org. You can also listen to the archives of the show right here at worldtalkradio.com on our show page. And Sherry, you have a couple of events coming up.
I do.
You do? You're going to be in San Diego?
San Diego on the 3rd and 4th, something like that, of December?
Yes.
Yes. So if there are folks down there, we can go have lunch at the Fontainebleau.
Oh, yes.
And then go there. Because I hear the advertisements for that on this very station. And
yes.
So I figured this would be a good place to go.
Yes.
Uh-huh. They make it sound very attractive.
Yes.
So, and then we can have a Friday night discussion and a all-day Saturday workshop.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
What else is coming up?
Coming up, you'll be back in the Bay Area on December 17th and 18th at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose.
That's right. That's another Friday evening, all-day Saturday workshop, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Center for Spiritual Enlightenment. It's a very fun place to be.
It's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be in Austin, Texas in late January.
That's right.
And then in Boulder in February.
Goodness, that girl gets around.
And off to Germany in March.
Yeah, Germany in March and back to Italy in May and, oh, my, and Africa in July. But there's one other thing that we have kind of a big event for people in the Bay Area or people with frequent flyer miles who would like to just fly into the Bay Area for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
We have a very exciting event coming up the weekend of January 8th and 9th.
Uh-huh.
And it's a big to-be-announced, all of the details. But I will tell people, and I think you're hearing it first here. I'm not certain.
Probably.
That CD that I am so mad about called Splash, Bed and Bath Time Songs for Grown-Up Girls or something like that, Trish and Richard are going to come out, and we're going to have a concert that weekend of what is to me some of the most beautiful, inspiring, heart-opening, make you glad you're a human being kind of music that I've ever heard.
Uh-huh.
And so that's coming up the weekend of January 8th and 9th.
That's exciting.
Once we get through the holidays, you know, you get through the holidays, and then there's that, oh, dear. Not only most people, you know, not only did I spend more money than I had, but I ate more than I needed,
uh-huh.
And you know, my life is kind of out of control, which is why I guess there are all of those New Year's resolutions. Oh, speaking of which, we forgot your best year yet.
Yes.
On
January 2nd at the Mountain View Zen Center.
Sunday, January 2nd in Mountain View, yeah. Bet your best year yet. It's a great way to start the year off. And we start the process of recovering from all of that by, you know, opening our hearts and coming back to ourselves and reminding ourselves of who we are and what we're doing here and what this year can be like. And so those two events, that best year yet and then that concert, I hope will just, you know, just set us right up.
Wonderful. Sherry, we have a caller, and we're going to get to her right after this break. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Stay tuned here for the next segment of Open Air with Sherry Huber. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation about conscious compassion awareness, and today we're looking at what are you thankful for? So give us a call and keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we're talking about what are you thankful for, and also about Assisi. Sherry, shall we go straight to our caller?
Yes, please.
Wonderful. Welcome, Nikki. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael and Sherry.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
And yourself?
Well, I got a little cold in the airplane on the way back from Assisi, but it was worth it.
Uh-huh. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Michael was saying that we were talking about what we're thankful for and talking about Assisi, and so I thought I'd call and say what I was thankful for was that I got to go.
Uh-huh.
To Assisi.
Uh-huh. Thankful for Assisi and thankful that you got to be there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And thankful that I have said that I'm one of those persons that have said yes to hoping to make this project happen.
Mm-hmm. Thankful for the willingness.
Thankful for the willingness, yes.
Mm-hmm. The ability.
The ability, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there was a part of me that was a little, that was going there with a little bit of skepticism, like, can this place really be as good as people say it is?
Yeah.
And it is.
And it is.
And it is.
Yeah. I mean, so we can be thankful that we can realize that.
That's right.
Experience that. Enjoy
that's
that.
That's right. I mean, I really experienced that week there as about the most peaceful I have ever been in my life.
Hmm.
So.
And you've been on a couple of retreats.
Yeah, a few.
Uh huh.
Quite a few.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It being there, as you know, staying in the various places. Religious places, mm-hmm. primarily, because that's where we like to stay.
Yeah.
There's curfew, yeah. And you can't be out past 10 o'clock at night because they lock the door, and then you're stuck out there.
Right.
And it's wonderful because there's nothing to do
that's
at
right.
10 o'clock at night in Assisi. It is one of the quietest places.
It is.
It's completely without entertainment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wonderfully, delightfully so.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's a wonderful place to go and relax completely in stunning beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it really does have a presence.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that maybe the centuries of people coming there in that spirit of pilgrimage and spiritual practice does something to a place.
Yeah, that seeking the holy, mm-hmm. bringing holiness.
Yeah,
we talk about that a lot with something like the monastery.
Yes, yes.
When something is created with that kind of attitude of mind of love and attention mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Reverence and devotion, mm-hmm. it's like it those qualities or those attributes are just built right into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So all those people coming there, bringing that love and devotion,
mm-hmm.
and leaving a great deal of it there. And I would imagine leaving a great deal of it there and feeling refueled
yeah.
by it to take back out. It's one of those magical things where the more you give, the more you get.
That's right. That's yeah. right. And I very much picture the Peace Center being that way.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, where people just walk in and...
Yeah. 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 And because of the place that already is there and then what we would bring to it and what we create there and then what people would bring to it and what they seek and experience there,
mm-hmm.
that it all just reinforces itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very thrilling.
Yeah, it is very thrilling, and I'm... I'm eager to make it happen soon.
Uh-huh. And one of the things that we talked about when we were there, I mentioned it actually in the email class, and I thought about mentioning it before you called, and then you reminded me once again, is that we decided we wanted each to think about, to meditate on, with, pray about, for peace at 8 a.m. every day.
Yep, 8 a.m. wherever we are.
Whatever time zone we're in, when it's 8 a.m., we stop, and for whatever lengths of time we have, we focus our attention on peace.
That's right.
And we can know that wherever we are, whatever time zone we're in, there are others in our time zone doing the same thing, and we're doing it.
Right, and at other times, there'll be people in another time zone doing it, so it's happening all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great way to connect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I'm thankful for.
Me too, and I'm thankful that you called.
Well, I'm happy to do that.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mickey. You're listening to Open It with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're talking today about what are you thankful for?
Well, now, Michael, what are you thankful for?
What am I thankful for? I'm thankful for this radio show.
Uh-huh.
It feels to me like this radio show calls me to be in the present.
Uh-huh.
Calls me to show up.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that's a big gift.
Yes. It, when you mentioned earlier commitment.
Yes.
That's it, isn't it?
Yes.
When we agree, when we're willing to be called to show up.
Uh-huh.
Something happens to us.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful for all the wonderful people I have in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful for spiritual practice and all that that's given me and opened me up in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's really wonderful.
Yeah. Oh,
what are you thankful for, Sherry?
Oh, well, all of that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thankful that there is such physical beauty around me and that I can be in this physical beauty and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful that I'm appreciative.
Uh-huh.
I'm thankful that I'm thankful.
Yeah.
That I really do get to live in an attitude of mind of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I can never tell if I'm just the luckiest person on the planet or, I'm just not paying attention to certain things or what's going on. But I do pretty much walk around all day, every day, just saying thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. It, just about anything that my eyes land on, I can say thank you for.
Uh-huh.
And I would say at the very top of my list, as much as I adore the people in my life and that I'm grateful for my health and for all of the privilege and opportunities that I have, the thing I'm most grateful for is awareness practice.
Uh-huh.
Because, of course, that's the thing that has brought me to a place of gratitude.
Yes, yes. And for me, it's like it makes everything else possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm also grateful that I don't want to eat a turkey on Thursday.
Yes.
Very grateful for that.
Yes.
Grateful that there are a lot of organic soybeans growing as we speak.
Yes.
That are going to make wonderful things so that nobody has to die for my celebration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. If you'd like to join our conversation today, give us a call at 888-514-2100. Sherry, I have an email question here.
Uh-huh.
From a couple weeks back, just before the presidential election.
Oh, my gosh, that was a different world, wasn't it?
It was a very different world. And I'm going to bring you back into it briefly.
Hey, I want to tell you two things before you read that. I'm on a campaign of bumper stickers.
Yes.
Because bumper stickers are good. Like, I saw one recently that said, God is not a Republican or a Democrat.
Wow.
Which I kind of like. Mm-hmm. I saw another one that said, God bless the entire world, no exceptions.
Uh-huh.
Which I liked. And my current favorite is another dopeless hope fiend.
Another dopeless hope fiend.
Yes.
Huh.
Instead of being a hopeless dope fiend, this person is a dopeless hope fiend.
That's,
and I thought, now there, that's a good direction.
That's
I want
a good
to be
direction
a hoof
to go in. A little play on words there.
Uh-huh. Isn't that good?
Yeah, wonderful.
So maybe people can, that's part of what people can do is call in their favorite bumper stickers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Okay, so let's go back to that election that I heard we had a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. Dear Sherry, I have two questions pertaining to the presidential election. I'm experiencing many strong emotions regarding the race, ranging from excitement, which I label as positive, to anxiety and anger, which I label as negative. Because I find myself very identified with one particular outcome, if I get the outcome I desire, I'll be excited. If I don't, I'll be upset and depressed. My first question, then, is since I am someone who aspires to someday live from center, how can I be so wrapped up in the content and outcome of the race?
Well, shall we just look at that one before we go
on
to the second one?
Yeah, sure.
Otherwise, you know, it's way too much for me to try to remember.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first thing, of course, is early in the email, that notion of this is a positive emotion and that's a negative emotion.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we buy into that, we are just putty in the hands of egocentric karmic conditioning.
Uh-huh.
We're just hopeless.
Yeah.
So, you know, to begin to realize that these are just sensations in the body accompanied by stories. And, you know, there are stories that we like and stories that we don't like.
Yeah.
And that whole liking and disliking is the basic setup for suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So just noticing what the sensations are in the body and the stories that go with them, to me, is a much more interesting way to spend the day than in saying this is positive and this is negative and, oh, I had a positive feeling, so that makes me a good person, and, oops, I had a negative feeling, and so I'm not a good person, and how do I get rid of the, you know, it's just that whole track is suffering.
Yeah.
And then when we get to that next place, you know, we're all people who would like to live from center all the time, which is, you know, that's an interesting place right there, because that's a setup for suffering. Right?
Yeah.
It's that same liking and disliking. I'm a good person. I'm doing the right thing if I'm living from center, and I'm not a good person. I'm doing the wrong thing if I'm not centered,
mm-hmm.
which is not nearly as interesting and holds a lot more suffering than simply noticing the movement from center to not centered.
Uh-huh.
From well-being or peace to suffering.
Yeah.
So when I'm noticing that movement, I'm not identified with actually either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that lack of preference, I'm actually having the life experience that I want.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So.
That's powerful.
And so there was another part to that.
Yes. Does a person's desire for one particular candidate to win come from egocentric karmic conditioning or from center? In other words, would a more centered person not be so involved in the results of the election? And then there's a second question.
Wow, this is all part one.
Yes.
Well, you know, I never like to talk too much about what a centered person would do and wouldn't do. I think it's best to get to center and then see what happens.
Yeah.
I think I can pretty safely say that, yes, I think a big investment in anything is coming from egocentric karmic conditioning.
Uh-huh.
Simply because, you know, the perspective is so small.
Yeah.
It's funny to think of here and now, which at first glance would seem very small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's here and it's now. That's a very tiny piece of time and space, but it's not. Here and now is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
The results of this election are very tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, this is such a blip.
Yeah.
In the course of life, we can't even say humanity, but of life, that it's only egocentricity could be concerned about something mm-hmm. so small.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, we have about 2 minutes to the break here. My second question is
so
about...
So I better get a shorter answer on this one? I'll just say yes or no.
Just give you a little heads up.
Yeah.
My second question is about projection. I find myself projecting predominantly positive qualities onto one candidate and negative qualities onto the other. What do these projections say about me? Do I really have to own all those negative qualities I'm projecting onto the candidate I want to lose?
Well...
It's a very humbling thought.
Yeah, yes, and of course we don't have to, but it would be extremely intelligent to.
Yes.
If we want to end suffering, the answer to that question is yes,
yes.
On those projections.
Yes.
And learn that a really good, kind, caring person can have a whole long list of what somebody would like to identify as negative traits.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did we get in under the time?
Yes. The listener says it's a very humbling thought. Peace and thank you from a listener in San Francisco.
Wonderful. That was great.
Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, we have another caller who we're going to get to after the break. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Next on Open Air, we'll be talking about what are you thankful for. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio, and we'll be back for our last segment.
With our show hosts or guests during the live show, call us toll-free in North America, 888-514-2100. Everywhere else, call 001-858-268-3068.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we're talking about what are you thankful for? Sherry, shall we go?
I had something else.
Oh, please.
After that email, I thought I am really grateful that there are people in this world looking at things and thinking deeply like the writer and our caller.
Yes.
And that I get to be in relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have to second that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge for me.
Mm-hmm.
To find a community of people who are willing and interested and excited about doing this work.
Mm-hmm. We're lucky humans.
We are lucky humans. Wonderful. I'd like to welcome our next caller, Rebecca. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi, Rebecca.
I'm so glad to be speaking with both of you.
Great.
And I want to third what you just said, because, I just get so excited in the email class, for one, and then listening to the radio show, number two. When I get on the email class and I get to see all of the responses, I feel so connected.
Uh-huh.
I feel like, wow, all these people doing this alongside of me.
Yeah. Yeah, supporting each other. We're all it's like that image that I always get is just holding hands.
Yeah.
Just holding hands, going through life.
Yeah, throughout my day, otherwise I wouldn't be able to speak the same language.
Yes.
As when I log on and get to read all the responses.
Uh-huh. When I was at the first of the year, I spent a few weeks in Assisi by myself, and my Italian is not good. And so it was day after day after day of really not talking to anybody, and which is, you know, not it's not terribly shocking for me, given the life choices that I've made. You know, spending time in silence is not difficult. But it's being in the world and going around and doing things and not being able to communicate. Mm-hmm. I was struck by how difficult that is.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what you're talking about. It wasn't. I didn't want to get back here just so that I could walk into the local coffee shop and order something with ease. It was getting back to people who really speak the same language I speak.
Mm-hmm. It's on a very deep level. I experienced the same thing in France. I heard somebody speaking English after a week and a half, and I just broke down in tears. Yeah. Well, I experienced something very similar. I have a lot of spiritual communities, that's one of the multitude things I feel really grateful for right now. But there's just something about this particular language because I really, it's a large part of the focus of my life, the practice, uh-huh. the awareness practice. And to be able to use words like egocentric karma conditioning and have people know what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's
uh-huh.
just like, woo-hoo, it's great. And on that note, talking about egocentric karma conditioning, I want to tell you, this super duper thing I'm grateful about right now in my life, because there are so many things, you know, from the autumn leaves changing and family and friends, but to this one big thing is so important to me right now. I got to see through one of the biggest pieces of content the conditioning has been using against me. Or the biggest pieces of conditioning.
Uh-huh.
I saw through it in the past couple of weeks, and wow.
Ooh.
I couldn't even, wow. This is something I've been working with for so much of my life, and for the first time it just seemed like the biggest illusion that I finally saw through.
And so it's just like all the lights came on.
Yes.
Oh,
and
I live
all
for those
of this
moments.
Energy that I have, that all of my life force that had been going to that, to just being wrapped up with conditioning in that one piece of content, is suddenly all mine.
Uh-huh.
To do something completely different with.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a trip.
Everything just opens up in front of you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I have time now. I have energy. I have money. All that does not have to go to supporting that one story or that one identity.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow. So my teacher used to talk about enlightenment as everything is the same, only 2 feet off the ground. Do you kind
Can
of
you
know
say
what
that
he
last
meant?
Part again?
Are you there?
Yeah, I said, could you say that last part again? Everything is the same, but what?
Except 2 feet off the ground.
2 feet off the ground.
Yeah, so it's like your life is exactly the same. It's just kind of floating 2 feet above the earth.
Yeah.
There's a lightness. There's an ease. There's a comfort, a relaxation, sense of well-being.
Yeah.
So it's like as if you've been leaning against something, and then suddenly that thing moves, and you don't have to put all of that energy into that any longer.
Right.
You feel weightless.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's like I have me to myself now. I have all of the things that are being offered to me all the time just for me and my experience right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... It's such a different life.
Great. Congratulations.
Excuse me?
Congratulations.
Thank you. I remember one time when we were in a retreat, and you said, and something about how the identity falls away or something, and you said, and thank God. You said it with such strength and conviction. Just thank God when that happens. And I really thought about that.
Uh-huh.
Right when it happened these past couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's like taking off a pair of shoes that are too tight.
Yeah, I thought they were such important shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I really needed them.
And I looked so cute in them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody loved me in those shoes.
Right.
And now I'm like, oh, it's so much nicer. I get all the love I want without the shoes on. Or all of the, I get the comfort that I thought I was going to get through that love.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that I never really did.
Wonderful. It's grand.
Yes, it really is. Thank you so much for
all
of your
thank
work.
You. Thanks for letting us know.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. I'd like to thank all of our listeners and all of our callers today. It was great to connect with everybody this week. If you want to email us when we're off the air, send us an email to openair@livingcompassion.org. Archives are right here at worldtalkradio.com on the Open Air show page. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
And we'll talk next week.
See you next time.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.